ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। So today we'll see the summary of the last chapter of the Gita, 18th chapter entitled as Moksha Sannyasa Yoga. Now, this chapter is a summary of the entire Gita. Likewise, the second chapter was also the gist of the entire Gita. So first he gives the gist in the second chapter, then elaborates it, then again comes to the summary in the 18th chapter. So these two chapters, second chapter and 18th chapter, are big chapters. So this chapter 18, Moksha Sannyasa Yoga, the yoga of liberation through renunciation, has about 78 verses. And it is split into 10 topics by Swamiji. So finally, Gita is both Dharma Shastra as well as Moksha Shastra. See, the goals according to our teachers, masters, Shastras for human being is four. Artha, Kama, Dharma, Moksha. So, through Artha, you get a certain benefit, certain joy, which is Anitya. Same thing with Kama, entertainment. Then, through Dharma, you learn about Pap, Punya, what actions will give you Pap, what actions will give you Punya, etc., then accordingly you function. And if you gather pap and punya, accordingly you will continue in the world. If you exhaust the vasanas in the world, you rise above, understanding that anything and everything in the world is only anitya. What I am actually looking for is nitya vastu. And that nitya vastu, permanent aspect, what it is, how to find that, all that is explained in the Upanishads. So a person becomes qualified after following Dharma and acquiring Artha Kama through that and rising above it, and attains a little bit of detachment and then seeks Moksha. So in the Gita, both are given. Upanishads are for students who are almost at the sannyasi level, those who have followed Grihastha Ashrama and achieved some level of detachment. So even in the Mundaka Upanishad, the student Shaunaka, who is a Grihastha, who asks for what is to be known, knowing which nothing remains to be known, is an evolved Grihastha. So Upanishads cater to those people, but Bhagavad Gita caters to many of us who are in the world, because the student here is Arjuna. So he talks about karma yoga, bhakti yoga and all that, preparation, values and everything. Then finally, the ultimate goal is moksha, liberation. What every one of us are looking for is freedom, nothing else. Because our essential nature is free. We will not rest content until we are free. But then, we think the material wealth will give us that freedom. Then we realize that we actually become dependent on that itself. That becomes a condition. So finally, to become free from everything, what is that? That moksha. That's the ultimate goal. So here he talks about that goal, which you can reach through the state of renunciation, which comes once you have followed the karma yoga for quite some time. When then you drop the bulk of your desires. Then you reach some level of sannyas, then you will only be interested in moksha. So in the beginning of this chapter, there is a discussion between Sri Krishna and Arjuna. Arjuna is asking this question: what is the difference between sannyas and tyag? Because throughout Gita, the sannyas, tyag, all these are discussed. So Arjuna wants to know, what is sannyas, what is tyag? Because the gist of Gita is Tyag. You keep repeating the word Gita, Gita, what you get is Tyagi, Tyagi.
So funny.
So, Gita, the essence is Tyag. And in the Vedanta Treatise book, Swamiji very nicely puts, he says, renunciation is the key to success. And renunciation is joy. So to combine both prosperity and peace, we need renunciation. While you act, you got to renounce the desires and act for a goal. And while acting towards the goal, you got to drop the attachment to the goal. Only then will you be able to achieve success. And even when you are contacting an object, you got to have some amount of tyag for you to enjoy that contact. So for both success and joy, the essence is renunciation. Swami Ramtita also says, the way to gain anything is to lose it. These are our Upanishad in the beginning says, Tena tyaktena bunjita magrita kasya suddha. May you enjoy through renunciation. So, therefore, the discussion in the beginning from verse number 1 to 6, the first topic, is sannyasa, renunciation and tyaga, relinquishment. Sannyasa, renunciation and tyaga, relinquishment. I think somebody's microphone is on. Can you please put it in mute? I think Shobhaji's microphone is on. Please put it in mute, Shobhaji. Yeah, thank you. So the first topic is sannyas and tyag from verse 1 to 6. Sannyas means renunciation, tyag means relinquishment. Then the discussion further goes to three tyagas, tamasic, rajasic and sattvic tyaga from verse 7 to 12. Then the causes, incentives and constituents of action from 13 to 18, where he discusses about knowledge, known, knower, action, actor, etc. Those factors he discusses there. That is between 13 and 18. Then he analyzes knowledge, karma, action and karta, the actor, in terms of sattva, rajas and tamas. That is from 19 to 28. Sattvic, rajasic and tamasic jnana, karma and karta. Then 29 to 39, he gets on to the same analysis, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, but with reference to intellect, Dhriti, consistency or steadfastness, and sukham, happiness. So, this portion from verse 7 to 39, he beautifully analyzes the seven aspects. First, from the time we wake up in the morning till we go to bed, we are either doing something or not doing something. So, not doing can be called as tyag, renouncing. Doing can be called as action. Action requires knowledge. And the knowledge has to be executed by an actor. So, knowledge, action, actor, and he has to do it with buddhi. So, what kind of buddhi, how consistent he is doing it, and what kind of happiness that he or she is getting out of it, and what kind of renunciation a person is practicing. So seven aspects: knowledge, action, actor, intellect, consistency, happiness, and renunciation. These seven aspects are discussed from sattvic, rajasic, tamasic aspects angle, which is the three temperaments of the mind. So when we go through that and we do the analysis, we can find out as to what extent we have sattva, rajas and tamas. The goal of life is to move from tamas to rajas to sattva. So then, based on these three gunas, a person is either classified as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra. So from 40 to 44, he talks about these four castes and their duties respectively. Never in Gita does he say that the casteism is based on birth. He always says it is based on gunas. But unfortunately, over a period of time, it has been converted into based on birth. So four castes and their duties from 40 to 44. 45 to 58, he talks about true karma, action, bhakti, jnana, devotion and knowledge. And dhyana, meditation, one reaches the supreme, the highest Brahman. So you have to follow karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga and then come to meditation, dhyana yoga. And then through that you merge with Brahman and realize the self. That is discussed from 45 to 58. Then finally he appeals to Arjuna to reach the eternal abode. Through Arjuna he is appealing to all of us. As a human being you have the potential to reach the self. So drop everything and merge with Brahman. 59 to 66. So technically Bhagavad Gita gets over by verse 66. From verse 11 of chapter 2 to verse 66 of chapter 18 is what the primary message that Sri Krishna wanted to give. So 59 to 66 appeal to Arjuna to reach the ultimate. In 67 to 73, the Lord assures that his teachings will definitely liberate the devotee. Mind kind of gets into doubts. Will this help me? Will this help me to liberate? Or will I waste my time here in the world not achieving anything here and not achieve liberation also? So he gives that confidence by saying, this knowledge will certainly take you to that ultimate provided you follow that. That is 67 to 73. And 74 to 78, finally, Sanjaya concludes. The Sanjaya was endowed with the power to see what is happening on the battlefield. So he was talking to Dhritarashtra, what is happening. So he said, there was this conversation between Sri Krishna and Arjuna. So now since the conversation is over, now he's concluding it. So Sanjaya, when he concludes, he glorifies Sri Krishna and his wonderful dialogue, 74 to 78. The beautiful dialogue that happened between Sri Krishna and Arjuna, the logic, reason, everything, and also the supreme personality of Sri Krishna, the devotion and jnana, both were highlighted by Sanjaya in the conclusion. Glorifies the supreme state that Sri Krishna has reached as a result. He himself is supreme and the dialogue was also Amrita, he says. That is from 74 to 78. So the first topic, 1 to 6, Arjuna is asking Sri Krishna, please tell me what is the difference between sannyas and dhyana. I wish to know distinctly renunciation, Urshikesha and of Tyaga relinquishment, Ukeshini Sudana. So many names are used by Arjuna to address Sri Krishna. It is only showing the bhakti and love that Arjuna has for Sri Krishna, and also Arjuna is called by so many names by Sri Krishna. It is showing that there is tremendous love and trust in this transaction of logic and reason, which is the way to proceed when we gain the knowledge. The love and trust creates beautiful conduciveness and the logic and reason cuts through the toughness of samsara. That's the way it should be. So he's asking, what is the difference between sannyasa and tyaga? Please tell. Simple, what Sri Krishna says is, sages understand sannyas to be renunciation of desire-ridden action, relinquishment of fruit of all action, the wise declare as tyaga. In the beginning, you can't drop the desires. So it's okay, you give a direction to the desire and act, but at least drop the attachment to fruit. That is tyaga. When you continue functioning in the spirit of Tyag, then you rise above the very desires itself. So in the Grihastha Ashrama, what we are supposed to follow predominantly is Tyag. What are the desires? You can't drop them. You direct it to the higher. And you direct it higher. And while functioning, drop the attachment to the spirit. You keep functioning like that, the personality is able to appreciate the anitya and nitya. That level when you go to sannyas. That's all he says. So sannyas is a state of mind. Tyag is a practice to get to that state. You can say so. So tyag is renunciation of fruit of action. And sannyas is renunciation of the very action because of the very desire not being there. You don't find yourself that much entangled in the worldly activities. Why? The mind has gone into higher aspects. Not because you are interested in something else in the world, then it is not sannyas. Or not because your body is not cooperating. The day the body is blessed to be able to function more, throw it back. Then that is not sannyas. Sannyas means you have understood that iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold, but permanent vastu is what I need to realize and identify with. When you send your mind towards that direction, that state is called sannyas. The difference between sannyas and tyag, so to get to sannyas, you need to follow tyag. That's the whole thing. So tyag is what we need to worry about more, not sannyas. Because sannyas is where you get to. Tyag is what you need to practice. So therefore he says, in my opinion, yajna, dana, tapa should not be given up. And even they should be practiced relinquishing attachment. Because when you function in the world, you need to function in the spirit of service and sacrifice. So when you function in the spirit of service and sacrifice, even that you cannot afford to get involved. There is a tendency to get involved in that. He says, you should do yajna, dana, tapa, but that also relinquishing the attachment. So when you function like that, then you will be able to drop the desires and move on. Therefore he says, yajna, dana, tapa. Yajna means selfless action. Dhanam is charity, giving. And tapa is conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the unproductive channels and directing the energy towards productive channels. Now, ultimately, the goal of every human being is to exhaust the vasanas and finally exhaust the ego completely. So in spirituality, there is nothing to gain, there is only to lose. In fact, by losing the ego, there is actual gain. Now this is a completely different thing. So when you go to a guru, what did the guru give? Actually, guru doesn't give you anything. Guru takes away the anger from you. Guru takes away the resentment from you, jealousy, ego from you. Then only is a guru. So, you go to spirituality to lose, not to gain. By losing, you gain. He that loseth his self for my sake shall find it, says Jesus Christ. So, therefore, yajna, dana, tapa, all three are extremely important to evolve. So in this portion, 1 to 6, Sri Krishna says that even these actions should be performed relinquishing attachment, and fruit is my firm and highest conviction, he says in verse 6. Don't get involved in that also, because that is also a means to reach this. So don't get involved in that. Then he starts talking about sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. Now, interesting, when he talks about sattvic tyag, later on when he talks about sattvic action, both are same. When it comes to tamasic tyag, he says giving up of action without knowing its value due to ignorance and delusion. When you give up something, that giving up is tamasic tyag. Somebody gives you a Mont Blanc pen and you don't know the value of it and you say, what, it doesn't look nice here. And another pen which is just hardly 50 rupees looks very nice. Beautiful. And so you feel it's writing good also. So you say, I'll keep this, you keep this Mota pen. I don't need it. So that Mont Blanc, they don't know the value of it. So they're giving it away. You see, my God, what a renunciation. Given away the Mont Blanc and is keeping the 50 rupees spent. What a great renunciation. You renounce something out of delusion and ignorance without knowing the value of it. That is tamasic. Rajasic is when you know the value and you have the value for it. But to get it, you need to struggle. Strive. So, I don't want to put in that effort. Who doesn't want to become a millionaire? There are so many courses going on. In fact, some people contact me also to conduct those kind of courses. How to become a millionaire through Bhagavad Gita. In fact, there will be more people enrolling. I will become a millionaire for sure. I don't know about others. This is what is going on everywhere. How to become a millionaire? You write one book, you will become a millionaire. Now, millions have no value. You have to write billionaire or trillionaire. Then you will make money. Billionaire all gone. So, everybody wants to get that, but there is a lot of effort involved. So then I say the grape is sour. That kind of giving up is rajasic. Due to difficulty in achieving something, though I have value for it, I know the value and I have value for it, but I say grape is sour. Leave it. What is in money? Money comes, money goes. They talk like this. Very sure this fellow is a rajasic renunciant. COVID ho gaya, so immediately come back. So there is some difficulty, some problem. He doesn't want to work, put in effort. Why anybody doesn't want to change? There is a lot of effort. You got to beat the inertia block. You got to beat the comfort zone block. You got to beat the conditioning block. All these blocks you need to, you know, break away. Who's ready? We keep saying original thinking. But original thinking ke liye itna effort dalna padta hai. To go along with the masses, no need for any effort. Agree with everyone. You'll be invited for many parties also. Start questioning. Nobody will invite this fellow. Problem there. Call this guy for party. He starts questioning everything. Unnecessary. To agree, more invitation for party, more friends, everything more. So why not I go? Who wants to put in that effort? So that is rajasic. Sattvic is, you know the value, but you have no value for it because you appreciate higher values. So, renunciation, sattvic renunciation, true renunciation is performing actions without any attachment to any results. Simply doing because it ought to be done. Clearly understanding what you will get out of it, but yet you understand the real value of it. It is anitya. Jitna bhi ho, anitya. Even if I live 100 years, anitya. That doesn't mean, oh God, kill me now. They are not going to pray like that. But they understand there is no meaning in asking for 100 years. Yet the Upanishads talk about living 100 years. Now you will say, what is this blowing hot and cold? May you live 100 years with firm limbs. This is how the Upanishads invocation start. What they mean is, the purpose of life to be achieved. If I need more time, let me live that much time, but let me take care of my body, mind, so that I can put myself in that struggle to reach that. This is all anitya. So they are not asking for 100 years for this purpose. They know very well it is anitya. So he says, sattvic renunciation is that where you do the action, but you don't see the fruit of action. Desire is being directed towards a goal. While acting, you drop the attachment to the result. Simply do merely as an obligation. Where you do nitya karma, naimitika karma. Daily routine duties and special obligatory duties. You just renounce the attachment. You renounce the desire propelling the goal. You renounce the attachment to the goal. And you renounce the excitement while doing the action. This is sattvic renunciation. So in sattvic renunciation, there is no giving up. There is only growing up. Remember this. When he talks about tamasic and rajasic, he talks about giving up. When he talks about sattvic, he's not talking about giving up at all. He says, do what has to be done. Only what has to be renounced is attachment, which is mental. Only the attachment needs to be dropped, nothing else. Thus, when you function, you rise above. If not, you will either gain punya or pap or mixture. And accordingly, you will be getting the embodiment. So this is the gist he talks from verse 7 to 12. Then 13 to 18, he analyzes the causes, incentives and constituents of action. He says, five causes are there for any action. The seat, the body, the doer, ego, distinct types of instruments, karana, and distinct and various functions, and also the Lord. Lord meaning the pure consciousness. And doer, the indweller, the individual conditioned consciousness is the doer. Pure consciousness, when conditioned by the vasanas, the mind and intellect, it's called conditioned consciousness, which is you and me. That is the karta. Seat is the body. Karanam, different types of instruments, subtle mind, intellect, ego, organs of perception, organs of action, karmendriyas, jnanendriyas, all this is the instruments through which the action is executed. Then distinct functions, various instruments are employed to execute various functions. And all this is enabled, enlivened by the Atma. When all these come together, there is action. And over and above this, there has to be a person who is performing the action, the potter, making the pot. So the potter should have the knowledge of making the pot. And he has to conceive the object pot. And he has to have the knowledge of making that pot. So knowledge, known and knower. These three he calls as impulse to action. And then the pot maker with the knowledge, he has to start acting. He has to perform the action through the instruments which is required. So the instrument of action and the pot maker has to convert the knowledge into action and he has to become the actor. So these three he calls as the constituents of action. Basically he wants to say, when you do an action, there is the subject, the knower, the object, the known, and the knowledge which needs to be set in motion. You become the actor, you do the action using the instruments, you achieve. So then he goes about analyzing all the other six. While you do this, by obtaining the object, you will feel happy. And to obtain the object, you've got to do it consistently. You've got to use your buddhi. So he analyzes all these factors next. So he talks about sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, knowledge, action and actor from 19 to 28. Now, when he talks about sattvic, rajasic, tamasic knowledge. Tamasic knowledge is blowing the path as a whole. Rajasic knowledge is seeing diversity in unity. Sattvic knowledge is seeing unity in diversity. Seeing one Atma in every various different personalities is sattvic knowledge. Seeing the various gunas rather than the Atma, the distinction, that is rajasic. Tamasic is blowing the path as a whole. For example, what your eyes project, what you see, including that as the fact. If you have that kind of a mind, then it is tamasic knowledge. Tamasic knowledge is blowing the path as a whole. Indeed, that which clings to a single facet as if it's the whole. Without reason, without foundation. No logic, reason, nothing. I am saying it. I know it. I have seen it. In truth, there is no foundation, no reason. And it's trivial. That is declared tamasic. Then, when he talks about sattvic action, again he talks about obligatory action. Those actions which are obligatory, not those actions which are desire-ridden, likes and dislikes propelled. So actions which are done, longing for the result comes under rajasic, with egoism. I want to achieve something. You do such an action, then it becomes rajasic and it involves a lot of effort. Tamasic is absolutely heedless to consequence, injury, loss, delusory actions. These are all tamasic actions. Then when it comes to sattvic, rajasic, tamasic actor, again, if you are free from attachment, you are detached, no ego while doing the action. You see the action itself as an end of it, not the means. You are happy doing it. There is enthusiasm while doing the action. Then you become a sattvic actor. If your enthusiasm comes only when the result is promised, you become a rajasic actor. Result may be promising, not promising. But I love doing this. I'm doing it. Of course, I do it with my intellect's planning and everything. But there is a lot of enthusiasm in doing what has to be done. Then you become a sattvic actor. Rajasic actor is passionate, desirous to the fruit, attached to the fruit. So his enthusiasm is only as long as the result is promised. The result is not promising, he loses enthusiasm. Full of greed and cruel. All this is rajasic. Tamasic is obstinate. An actor who is obstinate, stubborn, malicious. You can go to any extent to hurt others also. And procrastination is a typical quality of a tamasic actor. All this, he says, is a tamasic actor. Then when it comes to sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, intellect, steadfastness and happiness. The next topic. He says, when you know what ought to be feared, what ought not to be feared, you know what is to be done, what ought not to be done. What is pravritti and nivritti. When this clarity is there, it is sattvic intellect. The clarity is missing, only confusion is there, it is rajasic. Without reason or logic, then you are firm in your thinking, it is tamasic. Tamasic is perverted. You understand love as attachment and attachment as love. That is tamasic intellect. Sattvic intellect knows what is love, what is attachment. Rajasic intellect is confused about love and attachment. The doubting self. It understands love as only when it is expressed. An expression is missing, it is not love. This is rajasic intellect. So, truly speaking, sattvic intellect alone is intellect. Anything sattvic only is true. Everything else is fake. So tamasic and rajasic intellect is not intellect at all. Then sattvic, rajasic, tamasic consistency. The consistency with which you pursue the spiritual evolution is sattvic. Will this help me to evolve? Then I follow. It doesn't help me to evolve, I don't follow. Whether it is Bhagavad Gita class or going to a discotheque, doesn't matter. You see, the extreme situations, these kind of things are discussed. Initially, if you discuss, there is a danger of misusing all this. You are struggling to get over a certain thing. You say, dedicate this to God and do it. You will get over. But don't use that as an excuse to do it. Whether it is eating, the habit of eating meat, or addiction to alcohol or cigarette, whatever it might be. Chalo yaar, I got stuck now. What do I do? Dedicate. And continue. You will overcome. That is different. Don't misunderstand things. So, consistency of purpose in evolution. This is something. Consistency of purpose in swelling. That is very consistently performing to expand the acquisitions and enjoyments. That's all. I am interested in expanding my acquisition enjoyment. That is rajasic. Tamasic is consistently involving in superstitions, illogical, baseless, foundationless stuff, gossips, believing all irrational, mad things. So in 2000, world will devolve. What do you call that? Dissolve. One fellow, this is what I was told that time, somewhere in the newspaper it came, in Egypt or somewhere, one fellow relieves a convict. Anyway, world is coming to an end, tomorrow you go and enjoy. This fellow is in charge of the jail. He released the fellow. And then he is in trouble. 2000 world will be finished. Some according to this calendar, that calendar, something or the other, absolutely no connection, no logic, reason, nothing. This consistently they follow it. And if you talk to them, if you see, you will think today that I will never believe all this. But if you will stay with them for quite some time, they will convince you. You will not be able to change them. You will start following all that. Many sportsmen have this. Scientists, somebody like Edison or Newton, one of the scientists apparently said, do you believe in superstitions? He said, no, but I am told it works. By chance, if it works, kya farak padta yaar? First thing in the morning, don't reverse the car. Anyway, I'm not going to lose anything. Man. But better to therefore reverse the car and park previous day itself. By chance, I don't remember. And then I reverse in the morning, first thing. And my whole business goes backwards. They believe this. They consistently believe all this. So, this kind of consistency, steadfastness with which you cling on to these kind of things is tamasic. Steadfastly pursuing acquisition and enjoyment, rajasic. Steadfastly pursuing spiritual evolution, sattvic. This is the three things. So we need to find out, am I interested in evolution or am I merely interested only in expanding my empire, which is anithya vastu. But I am expanding looking for nithya vastu. That is where I get dukkha. The problem is, I am expanding where? If you do it as a obligation, absolutely no problem. That's what we call as objectivity. See, King Janaka, the example always given is about King Janaka. He was ruling the kingdom, going about functioning. That's okay. If you do that as an objective action. But otherwise, the whole focus is only in expanding, thinking that that will give you, then it's madness. That madness means rajasic, that's all. That has its own repercussions. So sattvic, consistency in evolution, spiritual evolution. Rajasic, consistency in material expansion. Tamasic is consistency in superstitions, all these kind of things, illogical stuff. You know, they get into all these kind of things which beyond intellect. It's not beyond intellect, doesn't mean they think about Atma. Spirit, ghost, this, that. When the things, you know, align this way, this will become fine. They're only focusing on that. There's no consistency in action. It is like you're looking at the Google Maps, which route to take to go to the class. But you've not started the car. Not firstly, forget of starting the car. You've not even entered the car. You're only looking at the Google map all the time. Which stars will become better? That time which will happen? Will I start? Then this, that. There is no consistency in action, nothing. This is tamasic consistency. Sattvic, rajasic, tamasic happiness. Happiness that is contact bond. Sense contact bond enjoyments are nectarine in the beginning, poisonous in the end. In the beginning it's amrita, in the end it is visham. That is rajasic. The happiness which you control the senses and function is nectarine in the end. Beginning it is poisonous. Poisonous means mind races. But if you can control that and start enjoying that, and slowly, slowly you will start, the actions will start paying dividends. So sattvic happiness is actions that are born, happiness that is born out of sense control, which is poisonous at the beginning, nectarine in the end. Sense indulgence ke dwara, what happiness you get, that is rajasic. You know, you, tamasic happiness is delusive of the self in the beginning, in the sequel. Drugging, alcohol, those kind of happiness. But one gets sleep, indolence, which dullens the brain. Absolutely heedless to what happens to the consequence. So from the beginning till the end, it is delusive. Which you get from sleep and all this. Indolent activity. Those kind of joy is, happiness is classified as tamasic happiness. So when you understand this and analyze, you get your personality chart made. 7 aspects we discussed. You got to make a chart. We discussed this in the class. Matrix, you got to make sattva, rajas, tamas. 3 rows. And 7 columns. Knowledge, action, actor, intellect, consistency, happiness, renunciation. Then you plot by asking yourself questions. Where do you stand? How much of sattvic happiness you have, rajasic happiness you have, tamasic happiness you have. You put it for 100. 30, 60, 10 like that. Each and everything. Then you calculate the aggregate. You will know, you have some idea about how much of tamas, rajas, sattva you have. Then the goal is to move from tamas to rajas to sattva. To do that analysis, this portion helps. This whole portion is called personality chart. And Swamiji, under that title, personality chart, has given it in the last chapter of part A of Vedanta Treatise book. Then he gets on, based on these gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas, if sattva is highly predominant, you become brahmana. If rajas is predominant, then sattva, then tamas, then kshatriya. If rajas is predominant, then tamas, then sattva, you are vaishya. High tamasic, then little rajas, hardly any sattva, then you become shudra. And each of these people, they are easily able to relate to certain respective fields. Brahmanas, the fact that they have a high level of sattva, they're able to be balanced in thinking. So in those areas, they can function. Rajasic, they have to give direction to their, you know, physical energy, so administration. The policy makers has to be Brahmanas. The executors of the policy makers has to be Kshatriyas, in that sense. And traders, agriculture, all this comes under Vaishya. Then service-oriented activities come under Shudra. Basically, nobody is superior, nobody is inferior. Everybody is kept on a platter, not on a ladder. But if you keep it on a ladder, then the problem comes. I am superior, you are inferior. Nothing like that. It is each one, knowing their nature, functioning according to their swadharma, dedicating it in the spirit of karma yoga for the welfare of the whole world, evolves. And once you become a sannyasi, it doesn't matter. You came to sannyasi being a businessman, came to sannyasi being a Vedanta teacher, you became sannyasi being an administrator, IAS officer, being a service provider, doesn't matter. Each of them doing this in the spirit of karma yoga evolve. So 45 to 58 he talks about all this. Sve sve karmanya. Whatever action, instead of saying, I could have been better if I was a computer engineer. How does it matter? What you are doing in the Dharma Chakra, there is a role. Understand that and play. So when you do that, surrendering to the higher with the devotion, with the knowledge, you qualify to renunciation to meditate. To be able to focus on Brahman single-pointedly, you need some level of detachment. And that you get and you meditate and you reach Brahman. That he talks from 45 to 58. Then he appeals to Sri Krishna, appeals to Arjuna. You realize the self, meaning follow these three. Whatever you have to do, do it as a karma yoga. Don't do it as karma. Convert it into yoga. Give it a spiritual dimension. Ultimately, I need to get out of here. I need to get out of here doesn't mean because I hate this place. Get out of here means what? Not the place, the samsara. Samsara is mental, nothing to do with physical. The bondage that I've created mentally, I need to become free. Once I have become free mentally, thereafter it really doesn't matter where I am. Whether I am sitting in Delhi or I am sitting in an ashram or Himalayas, it doesn't matter. But that mental link has to be brought. Without dropping the mental link, if I keep shifting places from Delhi to ashram to Himalayas, you will still be mentally be entangled. Therefore, he says, follow this thing. Karma Bhakti Jnana. And attain the self, eternal abode. So in 65 and 66, again, he summarizes the whole thing. Surrender, karma, and knowledge. Finally dissolve everything in me. Sarva dharmam parityajya, mamekam sharanam raja. Hamtva sarva papyubhyah, moksha ishyami maasuchaha. That is 66th verse. Which ends as Ma Suchaha. Don't worry. Ma Suchaha means don't worry. How did the Gita start in the 11th verse, chapter 2? Asochyam. Asochyam anvasochastvam prajnavadamsya bhashase gatasu nagatasu na anusochanti panditaha. Wise people do not grieve. Asochyam. And ending, again, don't worry. Starting also, wise people don't worry. Don't worry, don't worry. Bhagavad Gita is message given in between two don't worries. Why don't worry? because there is actually no reason to worry. Why there is no reason to worry? Atma is neither born nor dies. So no COVID problem for Atma. And body is subjected to birth, growth, disease, decay, death. And it will again recycle. So what you can do? You can do nothing about it. Whatever you can take precautions, take and go. From that angle also nothing to worry. And from duty point of view, depending on your gunas, do it in the interest of the total. Then you will not have any worries. If you bring in selfishness, ego, then worry comes. This is the Gita. So in 65 and 66, when he concludes, he again emphasizes these points. Take me as the supreme. Ultimately, Sri Krishna wants to say this only. Get rid of your selfishness and ego all the time. Drop that. Nobody is caring for me. Nobody appreciates the work I'm doing. I don't want them to do. I'm okay to do everything. But just some basic appreciation should be there. Me. Krishna says, you forget this me, small m. Always remember big m. Matparaha. Matparaha means me as supreme. You say Krishna is also egoistic. What he's saying is, you think of the total. In that total, you are a small, spoke. Considering that, you surrender and function. Actions, devotion, gain the knowledge. Then, you drop all the vasanas, nothing to worry. Sarva dharman parityajya. Everything has to be renounced. Finally, me. Namekam sharanam kaja. Aham tva sarva papyaya moksha ishya. Then finally you will attain moksha. It's 59 to 66. Then 67 to 73, the Lord assures his teaching will liberate his devotees. The glory, the praising of this knowledge is going. This knowledge, whether you really realize the self, not realize the self, all that you forget. But constantly engaging in gaining this knowledge helps you in reducing the frequency of your agitation, intensity of your agitations, quickly bouncing back. Response time is quickened. FIR happens. Frequency of agitation reduces. Intensity also reduces. And you are able to quickly respond back. Otherwise, you will be thinking about it and worried for a long time. So, therefore, he appreciates this teaching. So, he appreciates the teachers, those who teach this knowledge. And he tells the teachers, don't give this knowledge to those who do not ask. Those who do not ask appropriately, agar bhakti nahi hai, don't teach. The knowledge is never given, it is always taken. You can't go and give knowledge. Don't talk to walls. Let them seek it. In the Mundaka Upanishad, he says that, Nayam atma pravachanena na labhyate. This comes in Katha Upanishad also. You don't get the atma by discourses. He nicely says that in the third part, second section. Mundaka Upanishad has three parts, each part has two sections. So in the third part, second section, he says, Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyate. You will not get to Atma through discourses. Otherwise, you would have left it in the first chapter itself. So he says that in the end. Why? Then he says, you can't get it through listening also. But by seeking, you will get it. By mukshatva you will get it. By the ardent desire to liberate, you will get it. By matparaga, you will get it. So therefore, he says, his teaching will liberate you. Teach to people who ask. And you also listen. Listening also. Listeners are also appreciated. Teachers are appreciated. And teachers are told, don't give this to people who do not qualify. So in this itself, in this chapter itself, when we talked about that 45 to 66, a lot of values were talked about, which are important to prepare the mind. By preparing the mind, gain this knowledge. This knowledge is the ultimate thing. Everything else you forget. In everything else, you will find dukkha. You understand? And if you invest in your, invest means mind. If you invest your mind in wealth, people, relationships, name, fame, power, position, everything you get to. If you invest it in beauty, you understand? You'll have a problem. So, invest in the knowledge. That is the message here from 67 to 73. Then, 74 to 78, Sanjaya glorifies Krishna and his wonderful dialogue. He says, by the grace of Vyasa, I got this opportunity. I consider this as a great opportunity to be able to listen to a great personality like Sri Krishna and the knowledge he had given to Arjuna, which I also benefited by listening, you know. So he says, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Parto Dhanurdharaha, Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhuti Dhruvo Nitir Matir Maha. My opinion is, where there is Krishna, there is Arjuna. Where there is Krishna, where there is Arjuna means what? Where there is skill and where there is objectivity. Krishna is objectivity, Arjuna is skill. When skill meets with objectivity, for sure there is success. Glory, Shri, Vijaya, all this is for sure. When there is skill and bhakti, when there is skill and objectivity, when there is a student like Arjuna who is questioning everything, teacher like Sri Krishna explaining logically everything with love, this combination is deadly. Indirectly is giving a message to Dhritarashtra. They'll finish you now. If you don't call the war, you know, call off the war. Better now also, at least you can trigger, you can say, hey, stop it now. Send one telegram from where you are sitting. But he doesn't do it, his attachment is too much. So, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Parto Dhanurdhara. So, with skill, combining with humility, you surrender to Sri Krishna. That which is dark to you, Krishna means dark. That which is dark to us is Atma, which is not known to us. When this happens, humility comes with knowledge, with skill. They have the self-restraint, they have all the qualities. This combination is deadly. And the ego is merged with the total. Then, all this success, glory remains with them. They evolve spiritually and materially. So this is the final topic of the Gita. Now the last word concluded by Mama. Matir Mama. Sanjaya says, no. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishnaha, Yatra Pato Dhanurdharaha, Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhuti, Dhruvo Nitir, Mama, my opinion. Mama. The word, last word is Mama, with which the Gita concludes. The first word with which Gita started was Dharma. Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre, Samayata Yurtsavaha, Mamaka Pandavaschaiva, Kimakurvata Sanjaya. This is what Dhritarashtra asks Sanjaya, the first verse of chapter 1. The word that Gita started is Dharma. The word that Gita ended is Mama. So Mama Dharma. The entire Gita is stacked in Mama Dharma. What is my essential nature? My essential Dharma, my essential nature is myself. I'm supposed to realize that by following my Dharma, my Swadharma. Then through sannyas I gain the knowledge, through knowledge I gain the ability to focus, through jhana I realize this. This is the summary of the Bhagavad Gita. By God's grace, Krishna's grace, we have concluded the summaries also. So now, next week, we will start with Vajagovinda. Let's conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyerva Vidya Anava Prakate Swabhava Karomi Adhyad Sakalam Parasmihi Narayana Iti Samarpayami. Hari Om.